today to welcome Philip, Jenny and Catherine into the service. And I think probably everybody knows them. Catherine, as you know, is working full-time in the Philippians, even when she's in her bedroom, I understand, these days. Is that right, Catherine? Sometimes up in the middle of the night to take a Sunday school service, because it's the hour difference between the Philippines and here is so much. But Catherine's going to take a little bit of time just to update us on the work of Rehoboth. So please, you come and do so.
Taking the mask off. So it's lovely to be back. I was back in Instow and in Devon, actually in Ilfracombe, in the summer, and I met a couple of you then at a house meeting at Jeff and Heather's house. So that was good to be able to update people then, but it's nice to be back in the chapel again and see you all and update you just a little bit about what's happening in the Philippines at the moment. Your church sponsor one of our REAP students, Shina, who is on your notice board at the back there. I brought the little video for you to, so you can meet her a little bit. We brought it in August. It's a bit, she made it at home and she did it on her phone and it's raining at the time. So it's not a very good quality. So we apologise in advance for that, but we'll show it to you at the end. But you can get a little bit of a feel of what Shina's about. She's in her fourth year in college now. So she's got one more year to finish her studies. So she's looking forward to completing her studies, helping her mum support the family. Her dad died three or four years ago now, so her mum has been solely supporting the four children. So Shina's excited to finish her studies and be able to help her mum do that. She's involved in the church in her area and has blossomed into a very confident, a very well-skilled person. She's doing business administration at college, so I don't know what sort of job she'll be looking for, presumably in a company, maybe in personnel or something like that. But you'll hear about her a little bit later. So thank you for your support of her. You've sponsored her since she was about 10 years old, so she's now 21, 22. So thank you for that. You've helped her to get a job, hopefully, in the future. So thank you for your sponsorship of her. COVID in the Philippines has not been great, to be honest. I came out of the Philippines last March 2020 at a one day's notice because suddenly COVID was taking over, and so I put my flight forward and came home. Haven't been able to get back yet. They are in another, what they call a community quarantine at the moment for the next couple of weeks because the government, again, are just trying to stop people travelling, stop people meeting in big groups. So for the next few weeks, they're not allowed to meet in church. They're not allowed to have large gatherings. They're not allowed to cross provincial borders. So to try and stop the spread of COVID. They've had about 38,000 deaths in their country since last year. They have a population of 111 million. As you can imagine, most of the COVID problems are in the cities, in the areas in Manila and other big cities. People live in such close proximity to each other in what are really quite slum areas. Very difficult to socially distance, very difficult to stop the spread of the virus. And medical facilities in the Philippines are very, very primitive in a lot of areas, and you pay for everything. And if you get COVID and end up in hospital needing oxygen, it's thousands of pounds bill that you will have at the end of it. They have some kind of medical care there, but it doesn't cover if you're in ICU with COVID. A lot of people are getting COVID but not getting in hospital, but it's really difficult for them to manage it there. They haven't been to school there. This is the second year. They stopped their schooling last year. They graduated at the end of March, and they started their new school year in October, all at home. And they did a whole year at home learning, doing online learning if you could, doing booklets at home that the government produced with the schools. So everything's been home, and they had a whole year of that, and now they've just started another year in school, and they're all at home again. So it's really hard for the children, as you can imagine. No face-to-face classes, no direct teaching. You get a booklet for science, and it's got some questions, and you answer it. And there's no teaching about the subject. It's just, it's a multiple choice. So it's just really hard for them. So they're going to school, but it's all at home. And our children at the home, therefore, we've got 30 residents at the home, from kindergarten up to grade 12, which is senior high school, which is like sixth form. So they're all at different levels of their education. They've all got different booklets to fill out. They all need help. And we have a staff of 10 people with 30 children. You know, and the staff are house parents, they're social workers, they're executive directors, who have all their normal job to do, as well as helping the children access all their education. So it's really hard for them. That's one of their big challenges for them at the home. And, you know, they've stayed really well at the home. We're very grateful of that. Our social worker caught COVID. He works in the hospital too, and he works in the community a lot, so I guess he picked it up in his travels. He didn't have it really, really badly, but he went to a quarantine facility. In the Philippines, they provide quarantine facilities free of charge for you to go to, so you don't have to live with your family while you've got COVID, which he chose to do because his family, they only have one toilet in their house, so that he couldn't isolate himself from his family because they all share bedrooms in the Philippines. You don't have your own bedroom necessarily, even if you're 26-year-old social worker. So he went to a quarantine facility, and he said physically he was fine with a cough and that, but he suffered emotionally from being separated from his family and then worrying that his family, who were also isolating because he had COVID, couldn't go out to work, and he didn't know how they were going to manage while he was away, because he's probably one of the main people in their family who supports them. Because everybody kind of lives probably day to day, really. They don't necessarily have to wait for a salary once a month. They just get paid daily. And if you don't work, you don't get paid. Then you don't feed your family. So our executive director often says, you know, the government says you isolate, you stay at home. But people can't often afford to do that, because if they stay at home, they can't work. They can't work, they can't feed their family. So it's a bit difficult to know how they're going to get out of the situation, to be honest. But vaccinations are improving there. When I came in August, it was about 6% of Filipinos who'd had vaccinations. But now it's up to 20% who have had fully vaccinated. And a few more have had their first one, but they haven't had their second vaccination yet. A lot of Filipinos still very resistant to having vaccinations. They're afraid of them. They don't understand them. There's a lot of stories about people who get sick even though they've got the vaccination, and people who've had a lot of bad experience with other vaccinations in the past. So it's hard for them to know what's right. And then, so, you know, that we need to pray, really, that more people will want the vaccination. I think they are available now, but it's getting the people into having the vaccination. My friend said they were going out to the marketplace and taking the vaccination to the marketplace because people weren't coming into the school to get them. So that would be a good thing to pray for, that more people would go ahead and get the vaccination, to feel that they can move into a different stage, really. So it's really hard for them. I could go back. I have a visa at the moment, which enables me to go back, even though tourists can't go in at the moment because they closed their borders last year to anybody, really. But COVID rates are still high. Vaccinations are still quite low. And the Philippines is on the red list, so it means I have to go into a hotel quarantine to go into the country, then I have to go into hotel quarantine to come out of the country, and I can't get insurance to cover me for COVID because it's a red list country. So it just feels like, at the moment, it doesn't feel like a sensible thing to do, even though they're saying, please come back, we need you. As Jeff said, I can do a lot of work from here. I can do a lot of my admin, my sponsorship, and I'm teaching the children on Zoom. As well, which is not nearly the same as teaching them personally. But we're making a lot of progress, and the children that I taught last year, I've just started up again. And it's encouraging that, you know, the little boy that I was teaching to read hasn't forgotten all that he knew last year. So he's making progress, even though it's slow because it's different on screen with, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. They're not really that interested all the time. So it's fun to find exciting ways to teach them through the computer. But it's so nice for me to see them, and it's good for them to have some direct teaching, because otherwise they're just reading booklets and, you know, circling A, B, C's and D's. So I think they like it, I like it, it's good for me to be involved. But it makes me feel more homesick to get involved with it, because I want to get back and do it. But it doesn't feel the right time yet, and it's very expensive for me to go back and pay all that money for short periods of time when it doesn't seem a good use of money at the moment. So. I'd appreciate prayer to know when is the right time to go back and when the country will open up safely for me to go into. Instead of showing a PowerPoint, I've been making, one of our residents in 2008 wrote a song about Rehoboth, which we've been using in our presentations, because she kind of summarised in the song what Rehoboth meant to her as she grew up in Rehoboth. And over the years, we've kind of made new versions of it, because the children have changed, and what happens in Rehoboth has changed. So just this weekend, I've been making a new version. So I thought you could be the first people to see it. So I've put photos from the last year onto it. So the words are the same, but the words kind of show what Rehoboth is about. But you can see some of the children that we have at the moment and some of the activities that they've been doing. So that will be the song. And then I've also got the little video of Shaina for you to listen to. Which one do you want to do first?
The song.
The song first. Okay. That would be great. Thank you.